Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Our guy in Vegas joins us now to talk about this week's football action. And Todd is the co-founder of Bet the Board podcast, and you can check him out on television. Big TV star. Lock It In airs weekdays at 3:30 on FS1.
Looking sharp on these TV broadcasts too, for a minute.
I'm trying to clean myself up the best I can, Don. And after 8 episodes, like I said, we haven't been canceled. So every episode we get to go back on the air is a step in the right direction.
You can't say stuff like that. You're going to make all the Vegas pool girls jealous.
Yeah.
Oh, those days, Brent. You make me long for being 25 and single in this town.
All right, let's jump right in, man. Texas A&M at Alabama. Alabama can score, obviously, as many points as they want on anybody. The line is 26.5. This is the CBS SEC game of the week, 26.5.
And unfortunately, it won't be much of a game, because if Alabama opens up their playbook, because I don't think they have just yet, and we actually see Tua for more than a half, A&M is going to be hard-pressed to match them score for score in this contest. Total in the game sits in the low 60s. Alabama may have a chance to do that entirely on their own. I mean, this offense is up nearly 3 touchdowns a game from some of their national championship-winning teams. We saw A&M at their absolute best against Clemson when they erased a 2-score deficit late to lose by the slimmest of margins. But going into Tuscaloosa, a completely different task. And when it looks too good to take all those points, steer clear or lay it with the favorite.
Georgia at Missouri. Georgia, 2 touchdowns on the road. Maybe Missouri's the second-best team in the East. I don't know.
That might not be saying a heck of a lot. No disrespect towards Florida and Tennessee, which I know we'll get to. But you look at this Georgia Bulldogs team, the most complete team on that side of the draw. Offensively, they're as dynamic, if not even more so, than they were a season ago. Still some concerns defensively, though. They've only actually sacked 1 quarterback all season, and if they can't put pressure on Drew Locke, he may have an absolute field day with a chance to pick apart the secondary. But keep tabs on the injury to Emmanuel Hall for Missouri. He played limited snaps in the second half of their game against Purdue, and that's really where they bogged down on the offensive side. Looks to be one of the first sellouts in Columbia since their regular season finale back in 2014. I don't want no part of the underdog here, but I could see making a case for this game going over the total. I think we could see a shootout there early in the day.
Well, maybe South Carolina or Vandy are the next best team in the East. South Carolina favored by 2.5 as they come to Nashville.
Yeah, hard to argue with Vanderbilt. Kind of a pleasant surprise. A little bit unfortunate they weren't able to pull off the outright upset last weekend against the Fighting Irish. But you look at this game, and they'd love to start things off in conference play with a victory. South Carolina, for me, hasn't impressed quite a bit, but from an offensive standpoint. But I still want to see how Vandy handles a little bit of the heartbreak, comes back home here. We know it's not a huge home field advantage when they play their games in Nashville. I look at this number here. I actually made the game a pick'em, so slight value in Vanderbilt, but I really believe you're going to see professional bettors make a case for both sides.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, at Todd Furman on Twitter.
What about Mississippi State and Kentucky, Ty? Kentucky got that Florida monkey off its back. What's next for them?
They did, and this number, Mickey, has actually come down a bit. 10.5 is where it opened. I'm seeing a price as low as 9 at betonline.ag. Total in this game, 55.5, up a tick from where it opened at 54.5. My fear for Kentucky is this. If they can't run the ball with Benny Snell, where do they go to try and move the football consistently? We know this Mississippi State defensive line is as top 5 unit in the entire country. Going into Lexington, for me, doesn't feel like that intimidating a home field advantage. I'm a little bit surprised to see money come in on Kentucky, but I understand it's an SEC, a home underdog under the bright lights, so we typically see that in some of these games. But I look at the total at 55.5, and I'll make a case for going under. I still think Mississippi State a little bit limited offensively. It starts and stops with Nick Fitzgerald, but I don't have much confidence in his ability to throw the ball and pick up major chunk yardage through the air.
How bad can Don's War Don Eagle Tigers beat Arkansas?
I don't think even if they beat Arkansas by 90 this week, it's going to atone for the meltdown for the second straight season against the Bayou Bengals. Trying to figure out why Gus Malzahn abandoned any of the pace and tempo that was so successful for them, took his foot off the gas. I look at Arkansas. These numbers are going to start to get out of control, especially when you lose at home as nearly a touchdown favorite to North Texas by 400 points. But as this number goes from 24 out to 30, I actually think Arkansas has a little bit of value. They're obviously not going to win this game or maybe even keep the score inside of three touchdowns. But if you get a hangover or a sleepy spot from Auburn, would it shock anybody if the Tigers win by 24 points?
Let's go over to the NFL, Todd, and take a look at some of the NFL action.
First of all, let's just ask the Browns. They tomorrow night, Todd, there's beer fridges with beer that's about to get skunky all over Cleveland from that Bud Light just promo. Free victory beer. Will the thirst of Cleveland be quenched tomorrow night?
I wish I had that answer, but I will not be laying 3 points for the Cleveland Browns anytime soon. Even with the Jets playing their third game in 10 days, two of which will have been on the road, an awfully daunting task in and of itself for a rookie quarterback still trying to get his feet wet at this level. The one thing Cleveland does have going is they can limit you on the ground, and it might put a lot of pressure on Sam Darnold to win the game with his arm. You look at Cleveland, we know about the Josh Gordon trade, Jarvis Landry a little bit banged up. And you wonder if Antonio Callaway is going to feature more prominently into the offense. Made a highlight reel catch before they came up just short against the Saints. I look at this total, 39.5. I could make a slight case for going under in the first half if we were able to get 20. I feel like this will be much more of a heavyweight fight, as both these teams know wins are few and far between, so they can't let an opportunity slip through their fingers.
Do you happen to know the last time the Cleveland Browns were favored in a game?
I believe it was actually last year, week 3, when they took on the Indianapolis Colts when Jacoby Brissett was their starting quarterback.
Okay.
But I don't know the last time they've been more than a field goal favorite in a game. I think you'd have to go back a little bit.
Let's go to the AFC South. Indianapolis at Philadelphia. Philly by 6.5.
I think this is a chance where Indianapolis can keep the good times rolling from an against the spread perspective, because you wonder what Carson Wentz you're going to see out there. I mean, Doug Peterson says that he's not going to call plays scared, but him to even say that in a press conference leads me to believe Wentz is nowhere near 100%. Titans fans saw Deshaun Watson recovering from one torn knee ligament last week, and he didn't look anywhere like the dynamic playmaker. Wentz has two of them in his knee. I think it's going to be a limited playbook, a little bit of rust here. Philadelphia down some playmakers in J.J., Darren Sproles, Mike Wallace put on IR at wide receiver. Don't be surprised if the Colts are in this game to the bitter end and have a chance maybe to pull off their second straight outright upset against NFC East opponents.
What about Houston? Can they get their first win?
I think they get their first win, and I think they do in dominant fashion. Now, I would want to check the status of Jadeveon Clowney before I lay the 6 points here. If he's out there, the Giants' offensive line looks more like a turnstile than it does anything else. Dallas absolutely feasted. Eli Manning doesn't thrive in the face of pressure. And I don't think this Giants defense is anywhere near where it was two seasons ago. I think Houston playing at home can get healthy. They desperately need this season. Will slip away from them very quickly.
Todd Furman, our guest. Okay, be gentle. Titans and Jaguars.
You guys would know better than me. I mean, who's starting under center in this particular spot? I'm led to believe that it's going to be Blaine Gabbert. I actually think the Titans are in a good spot from a situational perspective, because Jacksonville put so much into getting revenge against the New England Patriots last weekend. They played in sweltering temperatures as well. So regardless of who starts at quarterback, I would not be surprised if the Titans may be able to go in there and pull off a win. I do want to do a little bit more digging to figure out how this quarterback situation will play out. And I think this is the week we'll finally see Derrick Henry get 20 to 25 touches between the tackles, because that's how you beat this Jacksonville team, is running the football right at him.
Back to college football. Florida has won 12 of 13 in the series. Tennessee won last time in Knoxville, Florida, by 4.5.
You look at Tennessee and nice wins over UTEP and East Tennessee State. I mean, it held both those teams in check, didn't allow 200 yards, but not exactly stalwart competition. Getting Ty Chandler back, I think, helps quite a bit. It gives the Vols that bruising running back that they need. You look at their passing game, still some major skepticism. I will say one thing. If they don't win this weekend against Florida, the schedule will do them no favors with road dates at Auburn, at Georgia, home against Alabama, and at South Carolina. Almost a murderous row. I look at the Gators, and I'm not enamored with them. I know they did hang 48 points on Colorado State, but that was more out-athletes than them, just wearing them down in weather. The fact that Florida gave up 300-plus yards on the ground to Kentucky, I'm not sure they've rectified everything with that run defense. And if I'm looking to bet the game, I think points could be at a premium, which makes taking the dog plus 4.5 all that more attractive. I will say, Vols fans, if you've been betting your team blindly when they play at Neyland, 5-11 against the spread the last 16. So show up in forces, and hope they can close one of these things out for a change.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it, man. At Todd Furman, if people have specific questions about specific games, right?
Always a pleasure, lady and gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Todd.